This is close enough.
Yeah, no, that's too close. I feel like.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's too. You know what it is?
What?
It feels like you are going to kiss that microphone.
Are we burning pod?
Yeah, we
are. Recording?
Yeah, we're recording. Yeah, this is going on. Yeah, this is the intro, and now the music plays. Yeah.
Cold open.
Yeah.
Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Awkward.
Please. Social podcast.
Hey, Carlos. I see that you're here. How are you, Carlos?
I'm doing great. Listen, before we even get started talking about a bunch of things, because I feel like today we're going to talk about so many different things.
I'm predicting one of the things we're going to talk about is Latino culture and the influence in the industry.
I believe it.
Yeah, beanies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I think we should say up top that we have a show coming up.
Yes, we do. We have a show. It's going to be Saturday, November 25th in North Hollywood, California.
At the Haha Cafe.
Comedy Club.
Not Cafe.
No,
Comedy Club.
Comedy
it
club,
used
yeah.
to be.
It used to be the Cafe.
Sorry,
but now
guys.
It's like,
that's how long
and it's been a minute. No, so Haha.
Let's edit that out.
Hold on. Let's start over again. Hey, Carlos Santos.
Oh,
how are you?
No, that's fine. Just cut the when I say Cafe and just put Comedy Club.
No, I'm not going to edit anything. I want people to see the raw version of this.
Okay.
No, so here's the thing.
Comedy Club.
ComedyClub.com. You're going to go ahead and go on there to get your tickets. You know what? This offer is specifically available to you podcast listeners. If you use promo code AWKWARD at checkout, you can save yourself a little bit of money on them tickets. So make sure you do that. Come out. Enjoy
when is
the
it
show.
Happening again?
It's Saturday, November 25th,
what?
8 p.m.
It's after Thanksgiving.
That's right, after Thanksgiving. So
That's
here's
lovely.
What you do. So, okay, Thanksgiving. Eat your food, spend time with your family, be a little anxious about that whole experience. And then Friday, you're going to do some Black Friday shopping, but save yourself a little bit of money so you make sure that you have yourself some drinks on Saturday, November 25th. It's going to be an amazing time. We have ourselves a fantastic lineup. It's going to be myself, Carlos Santos, podcast listeners. You're going to enjoy watching Ariel Washington perform again, Melanie Baldonado, Jesus Sepulveda. There might be somebody else taking over the hosting duties.
Ooh,
we'll see. But we're going to have a great time.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Come
and,
out.
And now? Let's start the show.
Now let's start the show because we recorded this all in sequence. Yes. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Or maybe you didn't even download it. Maybe you're just hearing it like over the PA system because somebody accidentally connected their phone to it. So now you're at the grocery store at Ralph's and for some reason this podcast is playing. Don't forget to get discounts on aisle 7. With me, as always, is nobody because Ariel is still out on vacation. So she'll be back real soon. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to replace her for just today. With a very special friend of mine and a great guy who means everything to me, and he couldn't make it. So here's Carlos Santos. How you doing, Carlos?
Happy to be here. A lot of things have happened since I was last year. Was it at the beginning of the year?
No, it was definitely the beginning of the year. So the last time you were on was to promote the show that we did, I think like February of 2023. So yeah, beginning of the year. And then, so many things happened since then.
I think the most important thing being I finally got around to getting used to wearing beanies, which is a huge
victory.
Transition.
You were so adamant and vocal against it.
Yeah. And, you know what? Because I finally grew out my hair and that was a secret sauce.
Yeah. That's
all. Now I have like a 30 beanies now. I'm like I've completely transitioned.
See, that part I'm not excited about because I feel like beanies was my thing.
I
and
know.
Now you're making it your thing. You can't.
Well, I can only wear only a certain type of beanie. It still holds true. Regular beanies don't work in my head. I look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that at some point I made when I made the distinction and figured out that I can actually do fisherman's beanies. That's the one that goes with. And so once I found out that was a thing.
Yeah.
That's when I started to look for those type of shorter beanies that actually...
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's so funny to me because I wanted to say initially, I didn't spend that much energy in my beanie look. But that's just not true because my head is just so big, even with short hair or long hair, that I need to get like a wider beanie. And then so for me, I need it to be like big and loose, kind of that looks sort of like... like when you put a trash bag in a trash bin, sure, and then the wind blows it out and mm-hmm. kind of off to the side.
Sure.
That's what I want my head to look like.
Nice.
Yeah, so that is that
wind,
look.
The trash wind look.
Trash wind look, yes. Yeah, it's that's kind of the look that I unintentionally went for, but I feel like it fits me. It's a little cartoonish the way it protrudes out, but I also at the same time like looking a little bit like a cartoon, so mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and it's your brand.
Yeah, and you know what? Good for you for finally coming around. I feel like it completes the look. You're like, okay, first I'm going to grow out the facial hair, grow out the hair, get a beanie. You're essentially becoming me. And it's a whole thing.
It's almost complete.
It's the problem is you're
single
doing
white femaleing you. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're doing it better than me. That's the problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was a time when I remember this in high school where I didn't have a specific look. I just kind of always wore what I do now. But back then I was like Dickies, Converse, and like a graphic tee or something, and then I would wear my beanie or I would have headphones on, whatever it was.
They're so, like cholo-esque.
You know what? Like a skater cholo kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was this foreign exchange student who showed up. This was when I was briefly going to school out in the Mojave Desert. And there was this foreign exchange student who I have no idea how he went from Russia to like Palmdale or Rosemont or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he liked my look, and then he started to copy my look.
Oh, wow.
And before his semester was over, he mimicked my look exactly. At the time, I had short hair that I would kind of like brush up at the front and do that like that wave thing that goes over.
Yeah.
And he mimicked that exact look.
Basically just stole your...
Completely stole. But the thing is, he did it better because his hairline was better, like thicker, beautiful, and like these beautiful blue eyes. And the dude was just like, it was like, and then he went to
Russia. You couldn't be mad at him.
I can't be mad at him. But it
was your first experience with appropriation?
It was absolutely. Well, I mean, I guess so. You know what? You might be right. I think I allowed that to happen to me. Now I understand I understand history more now that it's happened to me.
Now that it's affected you personally.
Exactly. And I just think to myself, like, there's a Russian Jose out there somewhere. Jose-ski just fucking going around.
I mean, but also it's flattering, right? Because you really affected his entire, like, that's a big deal. Yeah. That just the way you've been for a while.
Like, was his thing,
He just completely, like, punched him in the face and made him change his wardrobe.
Yeah, and he started listening to the same music as me. He also started writing, because back
then
I would write a
Mexican accent too.
He did not.
But a Russian-Mexican accent.
I think if I had...
Hey, dos vidania, fucker!
I think if I had that accent... If I had that accent, absolutely would have done that. But what he did was, at the time, I would write a lot of poetry and rap lyrics, and he would see me, like, he'd be like, you know, what are you writing? And I'm like, oh, you know, just my, the, oh, just this is voted, a rap song.
I'm surprised he didn't murder you and just took over your... Yes.
He goes, but that's my name now. I am Jose.
I take it.
This is mine. Yeah, and so he just, like, out of nowhere. And then one day I drew my name, like, in a cool little graphic art kind of thing. And he started doing that, and he started going around writing everybody's name in graphic art. So I'm like, this guy is trying to be me.
Why did you keep giving him so much?
I didn't know. Here's the thing. I didn't notice any of it until somebody pointed it out to me. They're like, you realize he's copying you, right? And I said, no. And they're like, look at the way he's dressed. I was like, I guess I do kind of dress like that. Then one day his hair changed. And then one day he was doing the things I was doing. And all I can think to myself,
one day
he just was me.
Eating with your family.
Yeah.
You woke up in the morning at breakfast.
He was carrying my niece. And he's like, you are my favorite. And then, you know, just.
I am Jose now. Look at me. I am Jose now.
Yeah, he absolutely took over my life.
So I think what it is he got confused when he came to do an exchange program.
Yeah.
He really thought that it was just you were going to literally exchange identities.
Yeah.
He took it seriously.
I ended up back in Russia myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a communist, just so you know. Like, just it's crazy. I didn't realize how much of my life was dictated by Soviet Russia, but you know what? It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And you like vodka?
Oh my god, I love it. You know what? That does make a lot of sense.
That feels like an even exchange.
Yeah, you know, I used to drink my vodka out of a rifle. It was a thing. You know? Yeah, I wore.
Yeah, you chilled the rifle first so that it would.
And rifle had a fur coat.
Yeah,
it was a whole look.
Wow,
yeah, it was amazing.
That's lovely.
It is.
Where is he now? Do you know?
I don't know. His name is something Putin. I don't remember much more.
I wonder what happened to him.
I wonder too, because the thing is, I also don't retain names very well.
Yeah,
and so I like, if you pointed it out to me, I wouldn't know. I might have a photo somewhere of this kid,
Or you know what? He's going to be in the yearbook. I need to find the yearbook and look it up.
I'd be really curious to see.
Yeah, I want to see. I would love it if the yearbook was just like Jose and then Joseski. You know, like just right next to one another.
Or if you see him now and you talk to him.
Yeah, his long hair. Like
he'll look at you and be like, you never changed your look.
Yeah. He's like, did you update?
You just grew your hair out.
Yeah, that's true. I essentially am the same person, just like longer hair and rounder. That's the only difference between me. Although I saw a photo of me back in high school. And have you ever seen photos of young Jose?
No.
I got to show you. You're going to be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Okay.
Because I don't look the same at all. I thought I did. Yeah. I looked nothing.
In your mind you did, but people have told you otherwise.
Absolutely. People won't recognize me. Like there's been times where if I don't wear a hat, people won't recognize me, versus when I do wear a hat, they're like, oh, there he is, kind of thing. And it's happened to me where even Felipe, as far as introduced himself to me like 3 times because he kept, because that's like one time I was wearing, when he would see me around, I'd be wearing a hat. Then one day he saw me without a hat and yeah. He introduced
your hat is your me. Superman glasses.
Yeah. And then he comes and goes, bro, I didn't even recognize you.
Hey,
and then I didn't recognize. And so
I met a guy that looked just like you.
Yeah. Then I grew my hair out and then he introduced himself to me again.
You just keep changing.
I just kept changing it
for
up.
Felipe, you can't do that.
I was a prank. It was a prank that went on, everywhere. Man. Yeah. And then once he got...
That's on you.
Yeah.
That's on you at
the moment
point.
He becomes familiar with me.
Sure.
I got to change it
then
up.
Then you can...
Yeah. I'm gonna replace myself with a Russian dude. Just throw him off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's...
You've never been to Russia.
I've never left the country. So I have zero knowledge of the rest of the world. I don't think Russia would be the first place I'd go to.
Where would you go?
Oh, my God. I don't know. That's a great fucking question. Because I think a lot of people that I know or met through like social media and stuff like that, like especially back in the MySpace days or when I was on the forum for the Foo Fighters, where most of them were in the UK. So I think I would go there first.
Oh, London would be dope.
Yeah, I would love
if
to
I'm
go
If I'm being
out
honest, this is where I found my beanie.
Yeah.
In London? Over the summer break, I finally... Took a little. This is my second time in London.
Now, did you start wearing a beanie because you were in London and you're like, you know what, this is me being cool and eclectic by
doing
the London
look. No,
I
went to a hat store and I was looking to see what they had, and they had another one. I actually bought another one that I haven't worn out because that's very. It's like a newsy hat, but it's leather.
Yeah,
and I'm like, there's only a specific time that I'm gonna be able to wear this, but it looked really cool.
Yeah,
but on my way out, I saw basically it's called a Docker hat. Mm-hmm. Because it's like a hat but without the brim.
Okay.
But it essentially functions.
It sounds like a Kangol.
No. It's like a fisherman's beanie.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's the structure of a hat.
Okay.
With a cap.
Okay.
Without the lid.
Yeah.
And that's where I got it. And then after that, I started wearing that. From that point on, I remember the first time I wore it out, I'm like, ooh, it feels so weird. And then I got used to it. And from that point on, after the summer, I realized that I could, because my hair was long. Like I felt like it, you know.
It completes the look. And now, especially it's colder, you can really pull that look off all the time. Like I do, when I go out, like I will, I have a beanie on standby. So I do 2 things now. I have like a liga.
A liga?
What do you call them in English? The hairbands? Whatever. Yeah.
That depends on the country. Yeah. There's a lot of.
Yeah. So for
hairbands.
It's
very slang terms. In Puerto Rico, they say panty.
Yeah. So I'm outside wearing panties. And I have it to if I put my hair up in a bun, I also keep a beanie on me, you know, and I kind of go between the two looks. Although the last time I did a couple of shows, people told me that I look better with my hair up or wearing a beanie on stage versus just having it down. And I saw footage of myself from the show we did together, like behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw what my hair looked like, and it was very Lord Farquaad.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to change the shit up a little bit. So beanies in public.
You don't want to go full Farquaad.
I don't want to go full Farquaad. I'm already short, so I don't want to add to that. I'm not short like that level short, but
You're not that short. You're average.
Though I appreciate. Oh my god!
We need to bring back.
I'm a short king.
Well, this
yeah. I'm an average king.
Look, I grew up. As far as I'm concerned, I'm average height.
Yeah.
And my whole life I've never really thought about it that way. Now it's a very new thing that if you're not 6'7", you're a short king.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about it. You know what? I tell you how I feel about it. It doesn't affect me. Like, I didn't grow up thinking, oh, I'm short, because I'm technically 5'8".
Yeah. So,
and that's, to me, is the literal average between somebody on the short side, which technically like a 5'4" to like 6'2". Oh, wow,
5'4".
Okay. I mean, that's literally in the middle. So to me, I was like, I'm not tall, but I'm not short.
Yeah, that's true.
But now, since social media dating apps have come out,
yes,
now, and it's a good thing it happened now, because now
Now that you're aware,
there's no insecurity. Yeah. Like I've lived most of my life with the willful ignorance.
Yeah.
Now I'm considered short for.
You know what? What's funny is that, so there's people who are like, I don't look at them and I think to myself, that person's short or tall. Like, there's a lot of people that are like that. You're one of them. I had a friend who would see me as a short guy, and he and I were the same height.
Yeah.
But because of my body frame,
the proportions so big, too.
Yeah, my proportions. I feel like my head is meant for a slightly taller person. And so he would be like, you're pretty short. And then we go up to each other. It's like, oh, no, we're the same height.
Yeah.
It's
just, no, that's true. Some people, even though, they just, the way their bodies are proportioned, they make.
Yeah.
I feel like my body's proportioned to look taller than it is, maybe.
Yeah. You on camera can my appear limbs. Different. Yeah. For me, I look kind of like a childhood bully that grew up a little bit. Like, that's kind of the, like a weird sort of upper body kind of thing.
Yeah.
And with short legs. I look sort of like Joe Swanson from Family Guy.
So that's, the proportion.
Yeah.
And you look at the legs, so immediately your brain is like, oh, that's a shorter person.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I need to, I don't even need to be taller. I just feel like if I could just adjust the height to my, it'd be more leg than I am. Because right now I feel like my leg portion is the shortest part of my body.
Well, you can do the leg extension operation.
I never want to do that. People I don't want to do
that shit. I know.
It's a mind fuck, dude. I don't understand the benefit of being tall. I mean, I understand the benefit in terms of like finding, like sometimes you look better in certain suits or things like that. But societally, I get why there's people that find that more attractive or whatever. But in terms of functionally speaking, I don't see much of a benefit of it. I was at getting food from fucking like Taco Bell or some shit, and the cashier would have to dip down and then go up to hand food out to people because he was too tall for that. And then like when he was helping me out, he like almost hit his head, and so he had to like duck even lower, become more aware. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to be that. I kind of like I'm okay with my height.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I think it's like one of those like, well, let's put it this way. Have you ever factored in height when dating somebody? Like, have you ever like thought like this person's too tall for me?
Now I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
Now I see. Like, I was so willfully ignorant before. I'm like, meh. And I think categorically, there's a good number of women that I've dated have been my height or taller. Like, it hasn't been.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much I don't even like register it.
Yeah. It's yeah no
I, so like my height and so if they put shoes on their top, like I've had my fair share, so I don't know now I'm aware, now I'll see now I'll be like, oh, that girl's too tall, she won't even like consider it.
Yeah.
Because of the way that people are now, the women are now talking about, you know, height and all that stuff online, so but I'm too old to get the thing. I think we're too old to get the leg transplant thing.
No, and also I don't. I feel
have you like, seen? Because I saw some. Like basically, they break the bones. They have to break the bones in two parts of your legs. It's wild.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
If you're in your 20s, maybe because you have your whole life ahead of you. But if you're in your 30s or 40s, like
first of all, it'll take you longer to heal. And you're actually
considering, you're gonna be walking around like an idiot for so long.
I don't want to feel, and also it's going to look ridiculous if you do your legs and not your arms. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to look like a fucking T-Rex.
Well, it depends because your hands, because it's all based on, from what I saw, that it was based on your hips and your ratio. So your hands are usually pretty normal to your hip, and they basically, there's like a, what is that, an equation based on like your whole whatever, and it tells you how much you need to extend on in both parts or whatever, so it would look like somebody that would be longer leggy,
yeah,
but not like, you know what I mean, like I don't think it would look crazy, but you have to be reasonable because a lot of people I saw a video where they were saying like you have to be careful because some people might want to like jump, you can't do also more than like 4 inches or 5, because then after that it's crazy and
I don't know.
It's
would
scary.
You do it? Would you do
I
it?
Would absolutely not do it. Okay. I would absolutely not. But I was morbidly curious when I saw it, because the first time I ever heard about that was when I saw the movie Gattaca. You remember that movie, Ethan Hawke? And it was like set in the future, and it's this guy who's trying to. He's not like it's a sci-fi movie. It came out in the '90s. Gattaca.
Okay.
And essentially, if I remember, he was born. I guess we're at a point where everybody gets is like a designer born, like
gotcha.
So they can be perfect.
Yeah.
So they come out perfect, and Ethan Hawke's character was the only one, or the last one in the family, or in the thing where he wasn't. Mm. So he did everything, but he wanted to like excel and be considered whatever. So there was a whole sequence where he extended his legs because he needed to be 6 foot, or he needed to be a specific height. He did a bunch of other.
Yeah.
So that's the first time, and that was sci-fi to me. So now yeah. I was like, that's crazy.
No, it's. So someone posted recently a photo of themselves from like 2019, 2018. And no disrespect to the person, but they looked so different. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, when you don't realize like that somebody, you know, has had work done, or at least mm-hmm. like it's gradual or subtle or whatever. But then going back and seeing what the person looked like back then versus now, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even notice like, those
like
modifications.
What, like in like, the face?
Yeah. Like a face, like the lips are fuller. The eyes are more, what's the word I'm looking for? Expressive.
Okay.
Things, a lot of those kinds of things where it's like, oh, I didn't even realize the kinds of things you did to make those slight little tweaks and adjustments to yourself. Cause usually, especially back in the day, it's like the most I ever noticed for an augmentation was like, you know, like breast or ass or something like, you know, or like a tummy tuck kind of thing. I never really occurred to me that people could do like slight modifications, like the rhinoplasty, like the mm-hmm. nose change. I was only kind of aware of that in a little bit because I, as a kid, I was ashamed of my nose, and now I love my nose.
You were?
Well, when
you
I was
were aware of it?
Yeah, well, because think of it this way, like this nose on a much skinnier person kind of protruded out a little bit more.
The nose stayed the same.
I grew into my nose, essentially. Yeah. Nose. So
I think I grew into my nose too.
Yeah. So so it's one of those things where I'll show you photos right after this. I have a photo album, but it's like, so the short version is I hated my nose because it stood out too much to the point to where
people would say it.
People pointed it out to me a couple of times, but the bigger issue was more just the fact that like, you know, everybody around me, when I wasn't even necessarily like being like, oh, I'm ugly, whatever, but it was just more like the nose just stood out way too much. And then, I saw somebody else whose nose was even more prominent than mine. And I almost was unkind to them internally in my head.
Oh, you were.
Because I was I was projecting that hatred I had towards myself.
Yeah.
Then one day I looked in the mirror and I was like telling myself, I need to be a little more positive. I need to focus on this. So I started to examine my own face, and I was like 12-ish, 13-ish.
Oh, wow. You hadn't even hit puberty.
No. And I was like looking at myself and I was like, you know what? I was like, this is my nose. It's mine. I need to own it. It came from somewhere in my family, so I have to respect that. You know,
like the history of like that's the
indigenous part. Yeah, yeah. Because that wasn't an education I got until I was older in terms of that part. So once I realized it, I was like, actually, my nose is kind of bomb. Like it looks prominent in a way where it's like it's distinguished. And then as I got older, I started to like my mindset, like. Nothing changed about me except for my perspective of it.
Sure.
And it's one of those things where I just immediately just started to love it. So now it's like when I draw myself, like if I do it without like an expression of the nose features, mm-hmm. what I tend to also do is I'll draw two little lines on either side mm-hmm. to represent the sort of wider part of the bridge of my nose.
Okay.
So I do that because now I celebrate the way that I look.
Yeah.
But for the most part, there was a good period of time there when I was younger where I kind of like struggled with it, and now as I'm older, all I could think to myself is like, I wish I was at least 2 inches taller. No.
And in conclusion, no, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like this was then before social media.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
This would have been exponentially worse. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I'm like, I'm really lucky because a lot of these, like, I was just been so ignorant about a lot of like insecurities and stuff. Like I was just living.
Must be nice.
Yeah. No, I don't know. The perfect combination of things of just going through life, just being, you know, having a middle class thing. So not knowing, you know, not feeling like it was just, you know, my needs were met.
How much of your education was here? It was here.
It was mostly in Puerto Rico. And then I left after my freshman year of college.
Yeah. I think I was going to say, because.
But also here, growing up in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was to be less than because everybody was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
So even if there was class distinction, I did not see it. I was just happily going on my life as a child playing, you know, I wasn't even like, I didn't even care when people, you know, because I played, you know, I was a kid. I lived, you know, and a lot of kids, you know, when you start turning a certain age, they want to be cool, they want to be whatever. And I was not peer pressured into anything. Even if people thought I was like a geek, like I did not care. I was just, and I think honestly that helped me. First of all, it helped me overall, like, to continue with this career of like following my dreams and not feeling less than. But I also see that as a handicap. A lot of people that grow up in the States, especially minorities, where they inherently grow up with this feeling of like, oh, we're never gonna be as good as blank.
Yeah. So exactly. So that's actually what's the word I'm looking for? I would say that's I don't see that how it would be to your detriment, but I feel like it's actually better. You're a more rounded person because of it. It's, you know, because you had time to figure out, not necessarily figure out your identity, but have an identity.
Yeah.
And not have to self-reflect on it, just to exist
It wasn't a problem in my formative years, which I think is the most important. But also by the time I did was in the presence of it, when I came to California for college, when I started to notice that people were like, oh, you're brown, oh, you're Puerto, when that became a thing, I was like, this is weird, but I was detached from it. It wasn't like, oh, this is my, you know, my life is about labels, or my life is about,
you know what's interesting now, and I'm noticing this especially as a fellow brown man, is, so one of the things that happens is there's somebody who is, I'm trying to be as vague as possible, somebody who is not of Latin Spanish descent, who has loosely tried to cohabitate it. You know what I mean? Like,
you're being very vague right now.
Somebody who dates Latinos.
Are you talking about a celebrity?
No. This is somebody, no, not a celebrity.
In our circle?
Nobody in our circle, no. It's somebody who I'm aware of that you're not aware of.
Drag him.
Yeah. Who has started dating specifically to be with Latin people.
Oh, okay.
Like only dates.
As an identity?
Yeah, exactly. And also start
doing the thing. And
like,
they're not.
And then also doing the thing where like they like to show off how much Spanish they speak, kind of thing. And
like fetishized.
A little bit fetishized, exactly. And it also causes a bit of an issue for me, because it's one of those things where like...
It's the Russian guy.
Exactly.
He's, we go back full circle.
Yeah, he always calls over, hey, ¿qué pasa, homie? Yeah, so the little Spanish he knows. No, but what I was going to say is that it's become a thing where, with the exception of certain people that are more along that line where they try to take over that culture, or those who are within the industry, I don't wake up and talk about how Latino I am. I don't wake up talking about my heritage or any of that kind of stuff. It's like the whole, like, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't, you know, like, so people are like, what are your thoughts on Latinx? I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
I don't care.
But that is a luxury. That is a privilege that we had, because we never had to fight for our identity.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so for me, it's like, identify how you want to. Like, if you use that Latinx or don't use Latinx, it won't impact me. And I feel like it also doesn't impact a lot of people. Because, you know, when they say, like, when somebody gets offended on someone else's behalf, I feel like that's so certain terminology like that exists, because I feel like they're trying to be more protective of somebody who is like, the goal is to normalize somebody, to normalize that they exist, not by treating them normal, by just accepting the fact that they are normal, no matter how they identify. But one of the things I was mostly trying to convey is, on top of that, is I don't wake up talking about how Latino I am. I don't go around being like, hey, you know, you're a Latino if you, you know, kind of shit. Like, that isn't me. It's like, you know, because I grew up in an environment that it's like, I didn't know that the things that I listened to, the shows that I watched, the things that I did, that any of that was like, I was like, you know, you're Latino when you watch Friends. It's like, no, everybody watch Friends, you know? Like, so it's like, so people make it seem like it's like this real Latin culture kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, what's your thing, man? I'm like, they're like, blood in, blood out. Or they'll like, this and that. I'm like, I didn't watch that growing up. I don't give a shit about Scarface. I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, like, these are the things that people would be like, that's your culture, that's your thing. I'm like, it's not. These are just films that were made by white people. You know, it's like, you know, so it's like, it's not like, it's not necessarily like that. Like, that is my culture. But the thing is that when it comes to this industry, is that's what people look at. They're like, "What is your culture? What is your thing?
Yeah.
How can we do this whole thing?" And then a lot of people will start to play into that.
That's for us only. Like, because that's the thing that ultimately, and I think that's when you grow up that way, where you're like, "Oh, we have like a month a year, or we have a very specific week in school,
yeah,
where we get to be okay with our." you know, otherness.
Yes.
We get othered. Yeah, people get othered in the U.S., and that's just, however you look at it, it's not a great way to grow up because it's automatically putting limits on children. Yeah. That shouldn't have any limits.
Exactly. And it's one of those, so like now, I was talking to you about the show that I was writing that I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to do, this is the show I want to be. When I was first showing it to a couple of people or talking to people about it, they're like, oh, so, and then you could do like a thing where they have this sort of like Latin transitional music. I'm like, I don't want that. I'm like, I didn't listen to that kind of shit. And I'm like, why would I have that be the transitionary music? If this show is supposed to roughly reflect my life,
yeah,
why wouldn't it reflect my life, honestly? Like, yeah. I, you know, like the music I listen to versus what you as a, it's like, okay, you know when you would watch an old show or an old movie, how it'd be like the same fucking music that would be playing, like Tutti Frutti or some shit, yeah. like in the background of these very like the standard like holiday movies or movies that are meant sort of for kids.
Yeah.
They would just have the same kind of music in the background. So they're doing that now where it's like, they're like, oh, you are on a Spanish show. We need to have sort of a DJ remixed version of like a acoustic. Exactly. So it's like, so I'm like, I don't need that. That's not me. That's not at all a representation of me, but everybody will kind of put that in.
Because it becomes like a short speak, or what is that called? When it's like, it becomes a symbol. So it's like in movies, people use tropes and they keep getting used. So the same way, like you put this music to signify, everybody knows.
Like the filters that used to be in Mexico.
Right. Yeah. Making it yellow or whatever. The yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that,
so it's like it doesn't come from a real place, but if it's shown enough times, it becomes real.
Yeah. That's the problem.
And accepted.
That's the problem, is I feel like we need to be the ones who start saying no to those kinds of things. Get rid of that filter. Get rid of this. Get rid of that.
I think we're starting to. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I feel like the shows that are starting to come out are reflecting that a little bit. They're not, you know, don't think they're a slave to these things.
Do you mind if I blow smoke up your ass for a little bit?
Please smoke. Let me get in position.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see. No, like Primo did that. Primo was really good at like sort of standing out in that way where it's like, it was, with the exception of obviously talking about certain things that might be a little bit traditional, it wasn't like you guys were walking around constantly talking about this thing. And it was a better representation of my life because, again, my family and I, we didn't walk around constantly talking about, you know, how Latino we are. The only time it ever really came up was because it's like half my family's Salvadoran, the other half's Mexican. Mm-hmm. So they would, you know, kind of talk about those differences between both cultures. But being in both worlds, I was like, there's no fucking difference. The only difference is the pattern, the speech pattern. That's essentially it.
And that's credit to Shea, because Shea Serrano, I mean, this is his life. And he came into it. I mean, that was the only way he was going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to double, you know, to make sure that nothing was inorganic to his upbringing. Everything is in terms of, like, he would be like, nah, like even like speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, nah, I didn't speak Spanish growing up, so we're not gonna.
Yeah, and I love that because it's true, because it's like the only time I speak Spanish is when I would talk to my grandparents and I do poorly, or, you know, like if it was like I was doing customer service and the person didn't speak much English. So my Spanish isn't that great, but it's like, you know, people throw in Spanish catchphrases here and there. There was this one thing that I used to see on, there was a novela, and I'm trying to remember which one it was, but there was one where there was a character who was supposed to be the Americanized Latino in a Mexican community. So he would wear like Ed Hardy type shirts.
Okay.
And he would end everything with "my friend." So it'd be like, oh, you know, like
a Spanish telenovela?
There's a Spanish telenovela. So he would say.
So it was in the late 2000s?
Late 2000s, yeah. So
2010s?
Earlier.
So Ed Hardy went taking 2004, 2005.
A little 2005. Bit
right after Von Dutch came Ed Hardy.
Yes. So it was. So he would be wearing that, and he would end everything with "my friend," because they'd be like, "Oh, that's the one thing to make him seem American."
Sure.
And that always irked me because I always felt like, I was like, ah, please don't do that. It's like for me, that's very similar to somebody going around and be like, "Hey, amigo," kind of thing, where it's like a white dude.
Or when people are starting to try to write, which the same when you see it in scripts.
Yeah.
You're like, and they go, "Señora." Senora, or whatever. Prima. I've done projects where they're like, no, you know, even if I have I say something and then they say "señora," I'm like, bro, like, the señora is like for older people.
Yes.
I know that you're trying to in your mind, you think that that's what it's supposed to sound like.
Yeah, they're like, can you
But that's señorita? Only for status. Like, if you were equal to me, I wouldn't say "señor" or "señora" to you.
No.
Or "amigo," or, you know, like, that's just the thing, like, where, you know, yeah.
what would you say? Like, what if they said to you, can you change this to be something? What would you say to somebody to say friend or
in mutual? Spanish? Yeah, or in English? Yeah, or I'm trying to do a Spanglish thing.
You're trying to do a Spanglish thing. What's the one thing you'd be like?
Depends on the character. If he's Puerto Rican,
yeah,
I'll say brother. Mm-hmm. Bro, which I feel like a lot of people have adopted the bro, the brother.
I say Broseph. I don't have too many acting credits, and there's some that I'm just glad that don't see the light of day. But there was one where the guy wanted me to be like the stereotypical Hispanic person who was working on an elevator, and he wanted me to do the kind of like accent kind of thing. I can't get it up, you know, kind of thing.
And what floor?
So he would do this, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do that. And be like, just do it. So I did the lines without the accent, and the dude was just fucking livid that I would refuse to do the accent. I mean, mind you, this was not a paying gig, sure. You know, but I was like, I'm not going to fucking do that because now it exists out there. There's only one thing that I've done that exists out there that I have like absolute like shame about, but it was one of those things where I stepped up for a friend and I regretted doing that. I was like, I shouldn't have done that. I don't like doing cholo. I don't like doing cholo. And I understand people do cholo. I personally, I just don't like it because, again...
It's a caricature. It becomes a caricature, and, like, we're talking about, like, music. It's the same. People hear the type of melody that you think is authentic, but it isn't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense. That's why it's like a needle and, like, nails on a chalkboard when we hear it, but...
Yeah. To them, it's business as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you hear... So they did this once on... I think it kind of works on Futurama just because... For some reason, Bender is supposed to be Mexican. Mm-hmm. So it's because of where he was manufactured or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so his name is Bender Rodriguez, is how they put it. And then when he, Fry tells him, like, think of the senoritas. And then you hear the ding-ding-ding, get like guitar thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, vamonos. And he does that. I was like, see, so like that's kind of funny because it's a little bit playful. But it's also one of those things where I'm like, every now and then it does kind of work for me. There was one instance. Now, this is going to be, and if you're listening to this and you were there, and you're a comedian. Now there's I have a lot of comedians friends that are not Hispanic. We all have it. Like there's just
we all have them.
We all have them. I have white friends, right? Okay. So no, but the point is it's like we all have friends that don't necessarily see us as we are, as like, you know, they don't see you as a Puerto Rican, they don't see me as a Mexican. But every now and then when they do, it kind of feels a little weird.
Yeah.
So I went to a costume Halloween party one year and I didn't have a costume. They were like, hey, why don't you come out and hang out, whatever. Everybody here had a costume. I showed up not knowing that. And I was like, they were like, well, let's see what we can find you. They go to the back and they come back with gardening tools.
Oui.
And there was one of those things where they were kind of laughing. Now, mind you, one of the dudes was Hispanic, you know, and he found it kind of funny. But it's like one of those things where I was like,
but not checking in with you.
Not checking in with me. And it was one of those things that just felt in a moment, it was very compromising. I didn't take the stuff. I was like, let me go find a costume, I'll be back. But I didn't really express to them what that felt because they didn't do it with the intention of hurting me. They did it amongst another Hispanic comedian who essentially similarly doesn't lead with the whole I'm Latino kind of you know, angle or whatever. But it was one of those things.
If you're going to be ironic, it needs to come from you, not from somebody else.
Exactly. So then So I go to the grocery store and I am looking at costumes at the grocery store because it's like Halloween night and I'm not, it's like almost 10 p.m. So I was like, I'm not going to find a party store that's open right now and get paid for a whole ass costume. So I went to a grocery store and just found whatever cheap shit I could find. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, there was a older Hispanic man. Now this dude was 100% like a dude who like, he had his company logo, his landscaping company logo on or whatever. And I went up to him and I was like, hey man, sorry. I'm like, I don't mean to bug you, but can I ask you a quick question? And I legitimately asked a stranger this question on his opinion on this. I explained to him the situation. I'm like, look, I'm like, here's the thing. And then I told him the thing, what happened, the gardening tools and all that stuff. I was like, no disrespect or anything like that to anybody who does that kind of stuff. You do you. That's your career. That's what you do. But I just want to know, like, how would you have felt in that situation? And then he stops and he thinks about it. He goes, are they my friends? I was like, yeah. He goes, did they do this to hurt you? And I said, no. He goes, it's okay if this is what they do, if you say to them that this is okay for them to do.
Yeah.
If you tell them that it's not okay and they still do it, boundaries. That's when it's a problem. He goes, they don't realize it. They weren't trying to hurt you.
Until you say it's a problem.
Exactly. So they're like, so even if you feel the way that you feel, ultimately your friends are your friends. And if they really are your friends, then they'll take a step back from behaving that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, so I personally know I wouldn't be bothered by it. I probably would find it amusing, but I guess at the same time, if I was caught off guard, I would probably, you know, have a tough time as you are having right now.
Now, this is sort of a condensed version of what he said, but essentially that's what it was. That's what it boiled down to, because he was right. At that point, it was my call to decide whether or not I was going to be offended. And I think that's the problem, is I didn't know whether or not I was, because I was like, I feel like I would be if it wasn't friends.
Sure.
And I feel like I wouldn't be if it was like, you know, good friends and understanding that. But if they were strangers, I absolutely would be fucking livid.
So then you asked to buy his shirt with the logo.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you dressed up as
No, I stole him. It. I stole it.
You took him out.
Yeah. No,
you get an extra shirt.
Like, yeah, exactly. I was like, "Do you have a double XL, please? No, thank you."
Yeah,
yeah. He actually took his shirt off and gave it to me. Now I run his landscaping company.
Nice.
In Russia.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
you outsource.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What am I gonna do? Have Latinos work? No, thank you.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, you know what? Sorry for that random tangent, but it was one of those things where I was like, at the time it bothered me. I think that's one of those things that we also need to work on, as far as like, we ought to start asking ourselves, is this offensive for our own sake, you know? Because if we start telling people like there's that gray area, and I do terrible with gray areas, but I feel like there's a gray area where somebody isn't intentionally being offensive or intentionally trying to be racist, but it still kind of raises a few red flags.
Yeah, and it's all individual. The problem is that now everybody wants to be, they want to make blanket judgments on everyone, regardless. Like, it's almost, it's worse, because you're offending, like, you're not allowing people to have agency by being offended for them or being offended for whatever. Like,
yeah,
I think it boils down to individually how I feel. The flip side, obviously, is like, you know, the bad part of that is when people are like, don't, you can't joke about that because I, you know,
yeah.
And then but that's usually, that's a whole set of problems.
Yeah. I think I'm not as offended or as easily offended as I once was. But I think every now and then there's something where I have to like ask myself, I was like, how do I feel about this? Where I allow myself to sit with things now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'll sit with something and I will feel it and then be like, okay, this is my call on this one thing. Mm-hmm. So it kind of varies from thing to thing, but it is, I'm still loving the evolution of not even necessarily representation, but almost the representation that is just the existence. You know what I mean? Like, the more shows that we have that look like us, the less it is a thing when they exist.
That's what I was saying earlier about justifying your existence. And it's like, when we move away, like that's what it's all tied to. If we can, it's not even about to me, I'm like, I want to be post-represented. I want to be post-diversity.
Exactly.
I want to live in a post-diversity world. I'm like, because unfortunately what we're doing is we're focusing so much on diversity that becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to live in a world where we can do everything. We can do really good shows. We could do mediocre shows. We could do bad shows. And it has nothing to do with the diversity.
Yeah, exactly.
It just happens to be. But also, like, not run the other way and be like, oh, we're going to be like a white show, but we're like, just be. The act of being is something that a lot of people take for granted, because that's what I'm saying. Like, when you grow up having to, like, when you feel othered, you have to justify, and I think that's how it manifests. Like, you have to justify your existence. You have to justify, you have to, you know, take up space. You have to do all these things that inevitably in the back of your head or subconsciously make you grow up a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's how it shows up on shows. So I do definitely agree that I feel like it's not even more so than just having shows with diversity or representation. It's having shows where you're just being.
Yeah, exactly.
You are not bringing to attention. Like, it just, you know, like,
I want casting to be like, you don't know what the ethnicity of the person is. So you, when your casting call is, you're not looking for a white dude. Like, I want there to be certain things where it's like, I understand that there might be certain casting calls or roles where you want to have a specific ethnicity. But I also feel like there would be there's a benefit to being like, okay, you know, like, the people think like, oh, okay, well, we ended up casting a Latin character, so we just tweaked the background a little bit and tweaked this and that. I'm like, well, you don't really need to tweak a lot of it. Like, it's like, if there's a little bit
unless of dialogue, the story's about that, though.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
saying. Well, yeah, that exactly what I'm saying is, but it's like, let's just say middle America, Let's just say there's a remake to the movie Tremors. Mm-hmm. It's like, and none of the characters, it doesn't necessarily matter what ethnicity they are, because they're
it's not about them.
Yeah. It's about the giant worms underneath trying to fucking eat everybody. It's like, that's where this focus should be. It, you know, it's like, so it doesn't matter who's above it. Like, you know, if you're specifically saying like, this is going to be an indigenous character because they're going to talk about certain philosophies, stuff like that, I get. But it's like, if it's a store owner, it's like, it doesn't matter who the owner
is. You're going to make the worms. Are they worms? Are they considered worms?
They're considered worms, yeah.
You're going to make them Mexican, then that's different.
Yeah. There's, oh my God. they'll never get to us here. That, did you see that wall that's built right there? Oh, we're safe. They'll build the underground wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to be there too. I want to be there to where I'm not part of a diversity showcase, where I'm not going in and going in for these specific kind of things. It's like, I love seeing that it's even going back to the comedy shows. It's like, we had to produce the Latino comedy shows. You know, there's a comedy club that I shit on quite frequently because they wouldn't produce my show unless I made it an all Latino lineup. Sure. So it's like, I'm like, I'm not going to do
that. Yeah, well, it's forced. It's forced. And I think when I was at MTV, we kind of had to deal with that too. Being at a bilingual television channel, MTV Tres, it was, I think also for me, coming from Puerto Rico, having that experience coming to California in college and then going to New York, well, not only that, but just having a handle on East Coast and West Coast, which are completely different Latino experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that actually helped me a lot when I was there, because I was able to be like, oh, okay, I see what you mean. Like, you can't go too far. To me, I think my thing is like, we're forgetting about the middle ground. I feel like a lot of people have been shitting on the middle, but like, it's truly like there's a version of this where you're not pandering with your diversity, but you're also giving people of diversity opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think I feel like we oftentimes what happens, we end up throwing the baby with the bathwater. Like, oh no, well, see, like right now, they've done such a poor job with a lot of projects on television and films that now it's almost like people now associate, we were just talking about that, associate diversity with being woke or being pandering, when in itself there's nothing wrong with diversity, but the problem is that it's been used in such a way that it's actually, it's working against us.
Yeah, it's like, you know, being like, okay, we have another commercial coming up. Okay, we had to make sure that couple's interracial. You know,
right.
Like things
forced.
Things, yeah, and it always feels as, yeah, exactly. It feels forced. It feels like, I'm like, I like that there is a representation of that, but it's not necessary for a lot of the things. It's like, if you are doing it specifically, like I work in commercials a lot, so I see this a lot. I witness a lot of it. You know, there'll be some big chains or franchises or whatever that will specifically be like, okay, this is going to be for the Latino demographic. So I've seen them change furniture between the two. I'm like, between the two. There was one that was like perfect because the family, they use the same family for English and Spanish.
Yeah.
You know,
you get lucky when you get to do both.
Yeah. They change
for a lot of, for the people that don't know, usually commercials are either national spots and Hispanic. A lot of times that they'll have two sets of families or two sets of actors to do the stuff. But sometimes when they want to save money and when it kind of works, they'll get one person to be like, hey, you can do both. And that's the lucky, because then you could do English, Spanish, and everything in between.
You know, there's a term that I would use before that was sort of like the Antonio Banderas, El Pollo Loco kind of like narrative voiceover that was very sort of like Latino. Yes.
It's the B. Did he do those B commercials? There was like a commercial.
I think it was the same B guy. I want to say it's even the same guy as like Jane the Virgin and stuff like that, or the voiceover guy. But
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
Yes. It's all breathy.
Exactly. I could just hear the Desperado. But there's this specific voice that they would have for a lot of the characters, or they'd be sort of the very spokesperson, kind of like upbeat energy kind of thing. And they would always have those specific ones when they would do both, like in that, like they'd be like, the Spanish person's going to be playing for both English and Spanish commercials. They would always have to have that sort of like if they were hosting a Sábado Gigante or something like that, like kind of like cadence. And that always really sucked for me. But there was one job that I did where, like, again, same family did English and Spanish. They didn't change anything furniture wise. And then on the flip side of that, I'd be one where it's like, all right, now let's bring in the Spanish family. You know, and then they would like change up slightly little things, you know, for some reason, more cactus in the background, sure, kind of thing. And I'm
these
just,
are signifiers, yeah, that people need, like they, yeah, think they have to put in. Yeah,
I would. Oh my, yeah, I know. I'm like, I sometimes I think about like only moving up the ranks and stuff just so I could put a stop to that. Just be like, no, sure, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
we're not doing that today. We're continuing as is. Hispanic people also like buying really bright furniture. Like, chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. Anyway, how have you been, man?
Well, today on the time of this recording, it, yeah, looks like the strike is done.
The strike.
So by the time this comes out, it will have been, it all have happened. So it was kind of interesting, and
yeah.
So we could finally, actually, I just realized we've been talking about, you know, Primo and stuff, and yeah, otherwise we wouldn't have been able, uh-huh, to. Uh-huh. We'd have to edit that out. But now it looks like you know, come midnight, yeah, the strike is finally over. So yeah, that feels like a, you know, this 2 year has been a little bit weird with that.
Yeah. This episode's actually coming out tonight after midnight. So,
oh, okay, good. 12:01.
12:01. This is going to come out so we can, good, start talking about all the stuff we want to talk,
nice,
about.
Nice. We can finally talk about all the TV credits. We can have a second Halloween.
Hell,
so
yeah,
we can dress up as the unstruck characters that we couldn't dress up as for
second. We should do that. We should do a second Halloween.
Yeah, I'm gonna post about it tonight.
Yeah, let's. If you really do that, please let me know. I will
second
attend.
Halloween.
Yeah, second Halloween. Well, and it has to be a franchise character.
Yeah,
has to be. All right. So real quick. So there's one thing I want to plug now that I can is now this is a small thing for me, but it's still kind of cool. I was a PA for a cartoon that finally aired,
mm-hmm,
and I can finally talk about it. So
nice.
It's called Adventure Time: Fiona and Cake.
Oh, I know.
Available on Max. It was a project I love being a part of. I PA'd on that one. I actually got a couple of my suggestions into the show, mm-hmm, so which made me
you
very
pitched
happy.
Some jokes.
I pitched a couple of jokes, and they got in there, and they stayed, and I was, nice, happy. And they're, yeah, so
that's, man, a good feeling, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and it's like, and it's one of those things where it's like, I always wanted to work for Cartoon Network when I was younger. When I was in my early 20s, I actually took a tour of the Cartoon Network building. In Burbank.
Okay.
And so they didn't really offer the tours, but they were having some kind of screening or some kind of presentation for some software on the rooftop. And then they were like, oh, people who want to come out to this thing can go. And a friend of mine got me in to go check it out. So I got to do a tour of the building. And then they showed me like the different floors. There was somebody who had a hammock in his cubicle.
Office. Oh, in a cubicle.
Because they're like, the animators are here so long. Oh, they take naps and this and that. I was like, I thought to myself, like, I want to do that somewhere. I want to work somewhere someday where if I want to, middle of the day, take a nap, I will. So technically, I achieved that.
you did it. It's your own home.
I it's my own home. Yeah, just fall asleep.
You don't need a hammock because you have your own bedroom.
No, but there was a time. Okay, I briefly worked for a mattress firm company, and they had mattresses that were there for us to like. They're like, oh, lay down on it and explain to the customer what it's like. And people were allowed to take naps at work, and I would. The problem is that when I would take a nap, I would always wake up way too late, and they'd be so mad at me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but I'd nap.
You'd really take advantage of the merchandise.
Absolutely. Oh my god, I slept so fucking good when I worked there. No, but I'm excited about this. Check it out, please. And as we mentioned, like Primo was such a great show on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It is like I binged it like in 2 days or something. I only really took a break because I started watching it real late at night. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to make sure that I finish this when I'm like more better rested. But it was such a great show. Yeah. Is there any talk about it? Any continuing that?
Well, I guess we'll find out soon because I feel like the thing is with the studios. They have a certain amount of time before they can tell us we either get a new season or moving on or they're passing on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when the strike happens, it freezes that time.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense. That's why we haven't heard anything, but I think it makes sense. It would have made sense for them to wait till this is all over before they can announce anything. Yes. I'm really hopeful. I feel like we had a great time. I feel like it's getting a lot of critical love. We just saw that we were Variety put out a list of like their predictions.
Yeah.
Which I don't, you know, just the fact that we're even being mentioned in that conversation along with like Ted Lasso and Abbott Elementary to me blows my mind.
I'm telling you, dude, and I know I say this every single chance I get, but you are absolutely worthy of all of that fucking, all those accolades. You know, I've always thought highly of you. You know, I've always said nothing but love and positive things about you, except for when you're not around. I talk so much shit about you.
As I'm not around.
The moment you're gone, I'm like, that motherfucker. Yeah. You see the way he looks in beanies? The fucking idiot.
Yeah, and I can finally now talk about Vacation Friends too.
Vacation Friends too. Yeah.
That was a real bummer that I wasn't able to promote it or put anything. So I'm going to start retractively posting about it.
Yeah, dude, do that. I mean, you deserve it.
That was a fun movie. It was a fun movie. And
I enjoyed that very much. I enjoyed that one a lot. It's a I won't say anything more about it, but y'all should definitely watch it. It's on Hulu right now.
Yeah,
right?
Hulu.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. Check it out. Watch it. Enjoy it. Love it. You guys got to make sure that you follow Carlos's career, because it's definitely, not only are you going places, but like, can I come with?
Sure. Sure.
And like, and that's the way it works, right? And in the industry, just be like, yeah. Hey, can I
just tag along?
Yeah, I'm just like,
Well, we're also promoting, the reason why we're here. So we're promoting a little something that we should have probably promoted at the top.
At the tippity top of it? Yeah,
you're right. Can we edit this back in time? Can you put this in the...
Yeah.
Can you put this thing that I'm saying right now?
Yes.
As the cold open, and then we'll revisit?
Yeah, so no, good thing we promoted that show right at the beginning.
Wow, yes. No, and now we can circle back and talk about it.
Exactly.
I'm excited. I'm really excited about the show, about the Haha Comedy Club, because that's the name. It's always been
only Haha Comedy Club. That's one thing I love about you, is that you immediately know the name of places.
Sure. It just comes to me.
It's so natural to you. It's incredible. It's as natural as your hair a beanie. It is a a perfect thing.
Perfect combination.
Yeah.
No, I'm only trying to steal your look. That's what I'm trying to do.
Oh my God. By the way, we had some great shows in Dallas.
Yeah, man.
Got any other road shows you want to promote or plug into that?
I have a show in New York on the 30th of November.
Uh-huh.
Doing a fundraiser for YMCA.
Nice.
So if you guys are in the neighborhood and you want to send some funds, I don't know what the word is.
Donate.
You have
contribute.
Funds to donate.
Yeah.
There's going to be a really fantastic show happening. I don't know exactly where the address is, but you can go to my Instagram.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Carlos. And on my link, I have my link tree has all the information. If you're in New York, November 30th, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. And if you're on my Instagram at I am Jose Chavez, my link tree has the link to the podcast, which you're already listening to. So I'm guessing you found that link.
Yeah.
It also has the link to the show. So come out. It's going to be such a fantastic time. I'm telling you, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
You might fall in love that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and also, I guess next year we could also throw that in there, no?
Yeah, definitely.
Got that Bellflower show.
Actually, we got a show in Bellflower. I forget what day it's on, but it's going to be
the 20th.
January, right? January 20th. We're going to be out in Bellflower. So the ticket also link is on
yeah,
there.
Link for, is live. Course, so
yeah, get your tickets now. You got to buy their tickets ahead of
it's
time.
It's my first time in Bellflower. That's going
to
be.
I didn't even know Bellflower existed.
Oh,
I can't wait to go. Yeah, no, I have people out there, so I'm gonna.
I just forget. I just don't want to think of it. You're like, I don't want to even.
Yeah, no, we got to do it. We got to get. We got to go back out there, man. I enjoyed traveling with you.
Yeah, Dallas was a really good time. Yeah. This is for those of you who don't know, this is our first time. You know, I've been doing a little bit of traveling with stand up.
Yeah.
In the last few years, which has been great because my trajectory with stand up has always been a little like seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And so now post maybe from a few years ago, maybe after Hentified started, maybe during a little bit after the pandemic, I started going out and performing outside of LA and like picking it up again. And so it's been like 3-4 years of really hitting it pretty hard, which is great. I've been able to do little mini tours. So I'm growing into it. I don't consider myself a road hog, but whenever the opportunity arises, September, we just had a little, I was in DC, I was in Dallas, and I was also in LA.
Yeah.
So, but it's the first time that Jose jumped on and hosted. We had a great weekend of shows at the Dallas Comedy Club.
Yeah, dude, it's always fun.
And it was your first time performing in Dallas.
That was first time performing in Dallas. It was a lot of fun.
Because you never, like, that's the thing too. Like, if you, it's also like, you have to be careful because, or weary or aware of the fact that you need to get out there to see other people. Like, people need to be aware of you because you can get very easily start doing, like, not that you do local, you're like, what's up with the 405? But I mean, like, you get used to a certain type of audience where you live, and it's good to get out there and see how other people react to your shit. And they loved you, bro.
It's good to be universal. That's actually one of the things that, so a long time ago, one of my friends that I mentioned, I have people out in the UK, actually came to LA to visit and went to go watch one of my shows.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said to me was, like, he goes, with the exception of like myself and one other comic on the show,
he's like, I couldn't relate to any of the material that was on stage because it was all about local stuff, like all things that are regional. And that's one of the things I was mindful of because he was in the audience. I made sure ahead of time to modify my material for something that he would understand without having to have grown up here. So that was the first education I had about not limiting myself, like having the smarts to have local material, but also having material that's more global.
That, well, here's that can be the thing, like, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with doing local material if you look at it from the point of view of somebody who doesn't know.
Yeah.
So, like, because I could talk about stuff from Puerto Rico, which would hit really hard if people are from Puerto Rico, but I think the challenge is in making it so that everybody can get it. Yeah. You bring people in, and you don't take it for granted. Like, the best way to do it is, does the joke only work if you're local? Does the joke only work if you're Puerto Rican? Does the joke only work if you know Spanish? That's the thing that I always look to, because it's very easy to fall into that.
The best thing I can say to that is, like, just think of yourself as, like, is this an inside joke?
Right.
You know, because that's essentially what it is. It's like, I had a cousin who's like, hey, you should tell the story about how our uncle tried to order pizza at McDonald's. I was like, that was only funny to us because we know the uncle, we know the circumstance.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit quirky, but it's not
unless you, it's not, I mean, about we, that, I, unless you build something around it.
I could do
about
that.
About him and doing all this stuff.
But exactly, that's the thing. Dissecting is I would have to change so much of my material specifically to make this one thing work, to make it universal, which isn't impossible. It's obviously anything can be an exercise. Anything could be a form of practice where you can take local material and make it more global. Sure. But it's also one of those things where it's like, you have to know when you're working on your material like that to make it something that is more palatable.
Well,
that,
there's also like, puberty just hit.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. There's also something about like,
I thought that was your new material. I was like, I like it, dude. I like where you're going with this.
There's also something about like things that are funny because they're true. That that's, I think, also a pitfall that, you know, you could easily fall into.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's not true to somebody, then it's not going to be funny.
Yeah, exactly. So, goddamn, we should put out a class. You know what? If you want to learn anything more about
comedy, Learning Annex, guys, we're at a point where we are ready to do workshops.
Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. We are going to just go around town and teach everybody, hey, we know comedy.
Hey, have you ever wanted to do stand-up?
Yeah,
do people tell you you're funny all the time?
That's one of my favorite things about the Dallas Comedy Club. The bathroom had all these promos for like these different classes that they had. And one of the ones they had was like, hey, do you and your partner want to spice things up in your life? You guys should take a comedy class together. I was like, that's the worst fucking idea to be a couple that starts comedy together. Like, you don't want to give your partner the ability to professionally roast you.
Yeah.
Like, that's just going to be such an issue.
You don't want to strengthen those skills.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and also you know, like, I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, she knows comedy better than I
also,
do.
Also, like,
she's gonna take off, her career's gonna be better
also
than
if you're doing writing what you know, then it's gonna be about each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd actually be really funny if you have a lineup where you have the boyfriend and it's all about the girl, and then the girl comes and does material on the boyfriend.
The only problem with that is I'm like, I don't want to be responsible for all these relationships ending.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely. But yeah, that's why that could be...
You're playing with fire.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, my God, comedians can be so vulnerable up there.
Yeah.
Like, babe, why'd you tell them about my addiction to cheese? It's like, or whatever their weird sort of vulnerable spot is. But yeah, no, strike that. I kind of want to watch the world burn. Let's fucking do that.
Funny if somebody does a whole bit on something and then their partner comes up and is like, well, let me tell you what actually happened.
Yes. Oh my God, that'd be so good.
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
They just keep going back and forth.
I know. Just bring them back and like, hey, you like this material? You got to watch hers again. All right, here she comes. Let's go to wrap up the episode, man. Let's do that. Do you want, aside from that, is there anything else you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about, you a project or anything?
No, right now I'm just happy to end the year and get cracking, and hopefully, you know, we get back to work.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. We have, you know,
I can't wait. I'm excited about seeing what's going to come out there, because there's also been a thing where people have been creative during this downtime. People have found that they're trying to find their voice. So I imagine what's going to come out from this is going to be a lot of creative content that wouldn't have existed otherwise. It sucks that it had to go down the way that it did, but at the same time, fucking union strong. Yeah. People stuck to their guns and kept going at it, and I think that also will shape a lot of the strikes and everything moving forward. So good on us.
This is a tentative deal for 3 years, but hopefully it sets everything in motion and ultimately protect us from all the crazy shit that is going to come our way once technology kind of takes over.
Yeah, I want technology to not take over until after I'm done working.
Sure.
Then that's when I'm like, yeah, go nuts.
After you're grandfathered in.
Yeah, once I'm grandfathered in, fuck it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no AI podcasts are just right around the corner. Somebody's going to pull all of this and it's going to make an AI version of
it. Oh, sure.
Welcome to Awkwardly Social Podcast.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about depression and masturbation. I am Jose Chavez, standard issued podcast host.
Yeah. No, yeah. Dude. They're gonna train the AI on you, and and it's gonna be, you won't tell the difference.
Yeah, I would hate for that to be
all your stories, all the thing, your makeup story.
The AI version of me is gonna be so depressing.
It's you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
You're the AI version of yourself.
That is true. Oh my god. Yeah. And here's the thing: the reason why AI won't work is because it doesn't have AI. Abandonment issues.
Oh,
snaps, mic drop. Don't drop the mic though. It's expensive.
Don't do it. It's so expensive.
So expensive. Guys, we were on a strike. I can't afford another mic. All right, y'all take care. Keep life awkward, and we'll see you on the 25th.
Of November?
Of November, yes, correct. All right, see ya.